This ain't Jump.
This ain't Slam.
The name of this record is Bounce.
What's up, everybody? Jack Maloney here with Friendly Bounce, Hardwood Praxis, and Basketball Network. We're doing our special season preview podcast. I'm with my guys, Chris Barnwald, Matt Cianfrone. We're about to talk about the New Orleans Pelicans, who last year had a successful season. They went 45-37, finished 8th in the West before they ran into the Warriors, but what are you going to do? They brought in Kendrick Perkins for some reason, Sean Kilpatrick, Chris Douglas Roberts, Alonzo G. We don't really know if CDR or Kilpatrick will end up making the roster. But other than that, it's pretty much the same crew. They sold their only draft pick, which was a fun time for Chris and Matt. Chris and Matt write for Pelican Debrief, right? That's the name of the site?
That's the site.
Matt is the editor. Chris writes over there. That's Fansided's Pelicans site. So there are our Pelicans experts. I'll let you guys sort of start this out. What are your, Matt, if you want to start, just sort of general thoughts about, this offseason, not a whole lot going on, but, where the franchise is moving. Forward.
I mean, I guess the biggest addition is Alvin Gentry, really, and Darren Arman, the whole kind of staff. But they've just decided that continuity is the way they want to go, and they were going to bring back the team from the second half of the year that was pretty successful. And there's arguments both ways on how that's going to go. I think Anthony Davis is good enough to get them to the playoffs basically by himself, but I don't have as much faith as some people do about the rest of the supporting cast. I mean, Quincy Pondexter was pretty good at the end of last year, but he's still a guy that a contender gave up on. Dante Cunningham, they play important minutes on the wing, and he can't. I think he's got like one career, two career three-pointers. Omar Asik can only really play on one side of the floor and can't play in certain matchups, and he's got to play heavy for them. Like, there's a lot of question marks, and that doesn't even touch on the biggest one, which is Drew Holiday ever going to be healthy again and the player we hope he could be? They keep saying that this stress fracture is not an injury that should bother him long term, but the fact of the matter is, now, 3 straight years, he's had a stress fracture, a stress reaction in the same leg, and that's got to worry someone at some point.
I pretty much agree with everything Matt just said, especially the part about continuity. Like, I understand bringing back everyone, especially when they played really well after January last season. They really came together. The trades they made were really important. It helped them make that run at the playoffs. You can make the argument that they shouldn't have made the playoffs in the first place because the Thunder were incredibly hurt. But you know what? They did. They even beat the Spurs on the last day where they needed to clinch. So they got the job done. And it makes sense when you can say, like, hey, if we actually have a better coach, because Gentry is, by all means, a better coach than Monty Williams. So why not bring everyone back? But it's really difficult to just bring everybody back and expect just better results. Like, maybe the chemistry's a little better, maybe the system's a little better, but just, you're still peaking yourselves out here with so many, because over the offseason they signed all these guys to, like, long-term deals. Like, Ashik's on a really long-term deal, but they're going to be stuck with him for a while, and he has a problem just getting against the rim. Like, I keep a counter going, it's like, Omar Ashik versus the rim, every game. The rim usually wins.
Yeah, and that... That's
Tyreke Evans is their second best player, and he's their point guard. Ryan Anderson, there's fit issues. There's issues here.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about this before we we started recording, and like it's starting to remind me of LeBron on the Cavs, where you like surround Davis with a bunch of guys who are good but like not good enough to like elevate you like to a championship team. Like Eric Gordon, Tyreek, Giroux, like those are all really solid players, but it's not enough help. Like it seems like you're just starting, I don't know, I'm worried that they're going to end up wasting like 5-6 years of Anthony Davis. And I mean, you can't really call these first few years a waste because he was just getting good, but like if this is the crew you're going to roll with for the next 4 or 5 years, whatever they signed him for, like I don't know what the plan is. I don't know how you get better. Like you try to convince a free agent to come here. I don't know. It's
yeah, that seems to be the plan, because like their draft history in the past couple years, they traded a pick for Omer Asha, they traded two for Drew Holiday, then they drafted Darius Miller, Austin Rivers, and Anthony Davis. Like outside of Anthony Davis, which was a no-brainer, like none of that's good.
Yeah.
You know, you could debate the Drew trade all you want, and that's a different discussion, but like they haven't picked for a while, and the last time they picked, they hit the no-brainer and failed on their other pick. Like, it's not good, and you're not even picking high enough in the draft to find a second star now. And I think the big question with the Pelicans, I was talking with Twitter on this about this the other day, and it kind of touches on what Jack was saying with the Cavs. Like, in a vacuum, it gets lost, I think, by some people who are like, oh, the Pelicans are deeper now than they were. And they were, like, Quincy Pondexter and Dante Cunningham, like, are obviously upgrades over John Solomons and Luke Babbitt and Darius Miller, who they started the year with in the rotation last year. Norris Cole's an upgrade over Austin Rivers. But when you start looking at things, like, in a vacuum and not, it's an upgrade from Austin Rivers, like, is it really that good? Like, is Norris Cole that good? Is Quincy Pondexter, like, a starting caliber player for a contender? Is Dante Cunningham a rotation wing player for a contender? And I keep coming back to no, probably not, no. You know, can Tyreke Evans be the second best player on a contender? No, probably not.
Yeah.
And so it's like, when you look at things as they upgraded, yeah, they upgraded, but that doesn't mean they upgraded to above average players. It just means they went from below average to slightly below average or average players in a lot of circumstances.
And it would be okay if it wasn't for the fact that they signed so many of these guys to long-term deals.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess Dell Demps loves trades. He's done a lot of trades. But you just can't rely on the fact that, like, okay, we'll sign him to a long-term deal, and if it doesn't work out, we'll just trade him and do something else with that. Just, that feels like, I don't know if that's the way they operate, but it gives me that kind of feeling. Like, it doesn't feel like a transition year. It feels like all right, we're going all in here.
Yeah, especially because they don't make a big trade. Like, the Tyreke Evans thing was, like, a sign-in trade type of thing. The Drew trade was a big trade, but it was for picks. But, like, there's been all these Ryan Anderson rumors. And, like, if anyone's going to be traded, it's probably him.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he's still around. You can't trade
Davis. He's not doing anything unless, like, you're packaging him for a disgruntled superstar.
Maybe, but, like, you just look at it. It's like all the trades he makes are like, I give up a bunch of garbage for Norris Cole. I give up a bunch of garbage for Quincy Pondexter. And we hope these guys like revitalize their career in New Orleans. And hey, when Norris Cole shoots 50% on a bunch of shots from 16 feet out, like, yeah, that looks great. But what happens when Norris Cole goes back to like being Norris Cole and stops making those shots? You know, what happens if Quincy Pondexter goes back from like being a 39% three-point shooter like the 30% he was most of his time in Memphis? Like, all of a sudden those trades that were like, look what he got for nothing, it's like, oh, there's a reason he got there for nothing.
And we sound like we hate the Pelicans, which we don't. We like watching this team. Anthony Davis is fun. Alvin Gentry is going to make this team a blast. I love Quincy Pondexter. I even in some ways like Dante Cunningham when he's doing those annoying long range twos when he starts hitting them. I like watching Ashik when he's actually playing amazing defense. I like watching Tyreke Evans sometimes. It's just, you want to see the team be at their best, and when you have to look at them critically, like, there's a lot of flaws. It's hard to get really behind whatever this future they have planned is.
Yeah. And, yeah, it does seem like we're kind of just trashing their whole operation when they're probably going to be a playoff team again.
They're going to be good this year. They're going to be better than they were last year.
But yeah, it's not because we hate the Pelicans. It's just, they have Anthony Davis. You just want them to be contending for a title. And, I mean, it's not just okay, you can contend for a title. Do this, this, and this. But it just seems, I don't know, you just want it to be better, and it doesn't seem like this is the best course of action. I don't know. I mean, this, we make it sound like building a team is super easy, and I know there's so many challenges you don't realize, but it's, I don't know. I guess it's just a little disappointing.
And part of it's luck. Drew Holiday, I love watching Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis play together. They have this incredible chemistry where Drew finds these angles for lobs out of the pick and roll that no other guard playing with Davis finds, and it's incredible. And unfortunately, he's been hurt the last 2 years, but it sets everything back. And they're going to have to make a decision based on a limited sample size now. Drew doesn't; he hasn't played a lot of minutes in New Orleans, but you can't keep going, we'll give it one more year to see. We'll give it one more year to see. Eventually, you just got to decide. And it sucks, but it's they're now in a spot where you're going to have to hit a free agent signing. And, there's plenty of Pelicans fans who are KD to New Orleans, but it's much more realistic for them to be let's go try to convince Al Horford he can have a better chance to win in New Orleans than he does in Atlanta. But then it's what do you do with Doncic, who you just paid a bunch of money to?
And
that's a confusing thing. There's areas you can look at and go, okay, this is where they can upgrade. But then you look at what they've done and you're well, that's a lot of money they're going to waste then.
Yeah, that Ashik deal, it's not even the money, it's just the...
not guaranteed.
Still, I don't know.
That's
too many years for Ashik, I think.
Yeah, my thing with Ashik is, he's good defensively, and he saves Anthony Davis from playing the five, which is a big deal. It's a really big deal. But... he's only been in New Orleans one season as part of it, but he's only been successful when he's sharing the floor with Anthony Davis. So going forward, you want to upgrade the five spot, Omer Asik's suddenly completely non-effective potentially. If he's not playing with Anthony Davis, he's not effective.
The defense was
a tire fire that without it. So it's what do you do there? Can you not upgrade at center because Ashik has to play with Davis? And maybe Alexis Ajinsa couldn't do it. Maybe Alexis Ajinsa is always going to just foul too much to help the team post a good defense. But I would have rather they just decided, okay, we got Ajinsa on this steal of a contract, which I think it was. I think the Ajinsa contract was by far their best move in the summer behind locking Anthony Davis up. I would have liked them to just been all right, we're going to throw you right next to Anthony Davis, Alexis, and we're going to see if we can make this work with Darren Erman. If Darren Erman's this great defensive coach, they hope, Ajinsa's got tools. He's incredibly long. I think he's got the longest wingspan in the league or something close to it. You cut down on some of the silly fouls he makes, and maybe he turns into something, but now you're paying Ashik all the money, you can't start Ajinsa. And so it just takes away some of the flexibility and versatility that the Pelicans can kind of have because you have to play so many players together. You have to play Ajinsa with, or Ashik with Davis. You have to play Evans with other shooters. There's just so many limited lineups they can throw out there.
And you can make the argument that a large part of why Ashik was so bad on defense without Davis was because of just one, Monty Williams, honestly, horrible defensive system. Whatever he was running was not helpful without having Davis's ability on help defense next to him. And the fact that, their perimeter defense last year was just horrid. It was some of the worst I think I'd ever seen. But even so, Ashik's slow. He struggles without that good help defender next to him. We've seen a lot in his successful stints. He did have that fast, athletic help defender next to him. So maybe he needs that really good health defender. So now obviously we'll know more about that this season, but still, like, just, you would wish that they had been – you want something to be a little more comfortable about.
Yeah, and you hit a good point. Like, the wing defender thing, or, like, the perimeter defense thing. Well, Jrue Holiday is going to be limited to some type of minutes limitation until January. It could be he can only play 15 minutes a night until January. It could be they start him at 15 minutes and he gradually goes up from there. It's kind of unclear with the way they're talking. You know, he's not playing back-to-back. So, like, they don't have a good perimeter defender. Like, Norris Cole has his moments, but, like, the defensive RPM numbers are horrendous. The on-off numbers aren't great. You know, Quincy Pondexter and Dante Cunningham are okay, but they're slow and they're not going to defend quick wings. And with the way the league's going, that's not good. Eric Gordon's small and he's so banged up, he's not good. But, like, they just don't have good perimeter defenders, and they did nothing to address it. So that's not changing. So if the problem is, well, Oshik needs good perimeter defenders to be in front of him, sorry, you don't have any again this year, and you're probably not going to have any again next year.
And people always say, oh, well, you got this amazing other rim protector next to him with Anthony Davis. And honestly, Anthony Davis isn't as good of a defender as we like to make him out to be yet. He's awesome at making highlights, but he messes up on help sometimes. Like, again, we can make the argument that the system was a big part of that. But individually, like, a lot of guys post him up and blow by him. He's not a great isolation defender. Like, obviously, in a league where isolation defenses is becoming as big a deal, that shouldn't matter. But it's an issue. Like, if we're going to be discussing this guy, we got to acknowledge that he's not the great defender we want him to be yet.
Yep. And like, yet somehow Oshik and Davis produced a pretty good defense when they were on the floor together. It was when Davis went off, things got ugly.
Well, and except against Golden State, who wrecked him.
Yeah.
Joined him whenever Oshik was on the floor.
And made Oshik unplayable on offense, which is a huge issue.
I mean, Golden State, you can't really, that's not really fair.
Well, right, but Golden State basically just took all of their problems and, like, maxed them out. Like, again, you can be like, talent disparities, Golden State's amazing and all this stuff, but, like, all the issues that we've, like, pointed out, Golden State made those very relevant.
Yeah, and not just Golden State, like, the league's heading that way. Like, you kind of have to be able to play small a little bit, and Ryan Anderson makes that hard for the Pelicans because he can't defend, and their wing players may or may not be able to shoot, which also makes it hard. And their second or their third best player, if everyone's healthy, is Tyreke Evans, and he can't shoot.
Yeah.
And so it's like they're not that athletic. They can't shoot that well. And then at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because Anthony Davis is just like so incredibly talented that he's good for legitimately 40 wins by himself.
Yeah, I don't know if they win enough games, like, for him to win the MVP. Like, people love to give the MVP to teams who are, like, you know, at the top of the conferences and wins, and, like, that might hurt him, but, I mean, he's about to win an MVP in the next 2 or 3 years. Like, we didn't really talk
about him. He's going to be the best player in the NBA in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about him on this podcast just because, I mean, what is there to really say? He's unbelievable. But, yeah, I mean, LeBron and Durant, like, I mean, they're going to be amazing for the next 3-4 years, but they're getting up there. Like, Davis is going to be the future of the league, and, like, I don't know, it just seems like they might waste it.
It's tough, and, like, in our Vine rankings, like, they ranked really high, and that was, like, basically purely on Anthony Davis, because...
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
Like, it's not even that he's just incredible.
Like, he's the best reason to watch the Pelicans.
Yeah, and it's not even like he's just incredible every night. It's like he's incredible every night while doing things that don't seem possible. Like, he's absolutely, I feel almost certain saying he's either posting a quadruple-double or a 5x5 this year. Like, he was close to both of them last year.
Yeah.
And one of them's coming this year. I'm not sure which, but one of them's coming, and it's going to be incredible.
I think that's a good place to end it. That's a wrap on the Pelicans. I'm Jack. Those are my boys, Matt and Chris. Matt's the editor over at Pelican Debrief. Chris is a writer over there. That's the fan-sided New Orleans Pelicans site. That's a wrap. Here's our boy DJ Los Latino playing us out. We'll catch you guys later. Peace.
This ain't Jump.
This ain't Slam.
The name of this record is Bounce.